All right, today's sermon is titled Proverbs is for Children. And that is my point. That is the point of the sermon, is that the book of Proverbs is for children. If that's the only thing you remembered the main point. But I'm not saying that the book of Proverbs is only for children. The book of Proverbs is for everyone. But sometimes we get the idea that it's mostly for teenagers or mostly for adults, and we don't realize how helpful the book of Proverbs is for teaching children. And I think that this idea that Proverbs is useful for teaching children is somewhat neglected in parenting culture in the church in America today. Part of how I came up with the idea for this sermon, I was doing a search on Amazon. I searched the word Proverbs on Amazon, and I put the category to books. So just books about the book of Proverbs on Amazon. And I looked through the first two pages, and there were commentaries on Proverbs, and there were books about wisdom, and there were books on how to be a Proverbs 31 wife. There's books on how to be a Proverbs 31 husband. But there were no books at all in the first two pages about using the book of Proverbs to teach your children. And I just think that's kind of a problem. Children need to learn wisdom, and Proverbs is a very useful tool in teaching wisdom to children. Proverbs is a great tool for learning wisdom in general, and it's also great for teaching children. And I think that's underestimated or neglected. So the book of Proverbs is particularly useful for teaching children. After all, in some sense, the main theme of the book of Proverbs is a father teaching his child. That's like kind of the point of the book of Proverbs. It's mostly Proverbs written by Solomon for one or more of his children. And even though all of Scripture is useful for teaching, there's something specifically powerful about the book of Proverbs, especially when it comes to learning wisdom. And that's what your children need to learn. Your children need to learn wisdom. There's various reasons for that. Everyone needs wisdom. But also, lack of wisdom is the default for children. It's the default for humans, but especially when we're children. Lack of wisdom is the default. Let's look at Proverbs 22, verse 15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of the discipline removes it far from him. I really bring that up just to reference the first part. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. Lack of wisdom is the default for children. It is. If you don't...
So what you're saying is that according to Proverbs, all children are fools because they lack wisdom.
Yeah. If you've ever been around a child, you know that lack of wisdom is the default for children. And all of Scripture is useful for teaching, but Proverbs was designed specifically for quickly and easily teaching wisdom in a simple to understand way. That's the design for the book of Proverbs. That's literally the whole point. So Proverbs is for children, and I think we tend to underestimate how useful it is for teaching our children, or to just neglect using it to teach our children. I remember when I was 16 is when I first read the book of Proverbs for myself, and most of it was pretty new to me. Like, my parents had previously read the entire Bible to us in a year or something, and I was probably 8 at that time, but I almost completely forgot all of that. I don't remember hardly anything of what they read to me during the time where they read the whole Bible to us. So I think Proverbs is something we should be diligent to teach to our children. So anyways, I just want to talk about some ways we can use Proverbs to teach our children, and then just go through some specific Proverbs as an example as to how useful the book of Proverbs is for teaching children. So let's talk about ways we can use the book of Proverbs to teach children. The first off, obviously, is just to read it to them. Maybe that means making it part of your family devotions. Maybe if you homeschool, that means making it part of your homeschooling. But if you want your children to know part of Scripture, you should read it to them, especially while they're young children and not older children who should be reading for themselves. The second way you can teach your children, or we should be teaching our children about the book of Proverbs, as all scripture really, is to talk to them about it. If the only thing you do in teaching your children the scriptures is read it to them, you're falling short of what the Bible wants you to do. The Bible specifically wants you to talk to them about it. You have interactive two-way dialogue about the scriptures. Let's look at Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 through 7. And these words that I command you shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. The Bible tells us to be having conversation with our children, not just monologue, but dialogue with our children about the scriptures. We should ask them what they think of it, what is their understanding of it, and talk to them about it. Talking to someone about something, especially talking to children about the scriptures, really helps them to digest it more than just having a monologue and reading it to them does. It also helps you to know as a parent whether or not they actually understand it. A third way that you can use Proverbs to teach your children is to have them memorize it or memorize portions of it. I was going to, at some point in the sermon, have Noelle give a bit of a testimony because Noelle's parents, as part of homeschooling her, had her memorize the entire book of Proverbs, and that was very helpful for her. But you'll just have to ask her about it when she gets back. Oh! Actually, that doesn't come up till later in the sermon. But so you can talk about that later. You can have some time to rest. I'm glad you guys are here. But anyways, having them memorize it. And then the last one, definitely one you should use regularly, is quoting it to them. Proverbs is so useful for quoting, it's almost like it was designed for that or something. When you're trying to help your child learn some important biblical truth about life or about their behavior, and you start to feel like, man, I wish I could explain this to them in a way that's simple enough for a child to understand and that's clear and powerful and only takes a few words, that's literally what the book of Proverbs was written for. That is the point of the book of Proverbs, to have important biblical truths about life and behavior that are clear enough for a child to understand and only take a few words. That is the design. That's the intent. That's the point. And that is why we should be using Proverbs to teach our children. And I really do think that using the book of Proverbs in teaching children is underestimated and even neglected. So I want to give some specific examples of how specific proverbs, specific passages or verses from the book of Proverbs are useful for teaching children. So we're going to look at 18 different verses or sections from the book of Proverbs and talk about how they are useful, how they're very much applicable for teaching your children. And you should use them. So the first one, Proverbs 15:1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. This is one that children need to learn, especially if they have siblings. That's kind of going to be a theme in today's message. If you don't have an only child, if they have siblings, they need this one. But children regularly face the temptation to answer each other harshly, or even to answer adults harshly. Children are regularly rude to each other and regularly just let their anger go unhinged. And the idea that a gentle answer turns away wrath, the idea that they should hold back their anger in conversation with one another, is something they need to learn. And Proverbs is useful for teaching that. This is something that you should make sure they learn. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Let's look at another one. Proverbs 11, verse 12. I really like this one. I'm probably going to quote this to my kids a lot when they get old enough to fight with each other and call each other names. Whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding remains silent. Don't you hate it when your kids make fun of each other and call each other names? Instead of just telling them, stop doing that, or we don't do that in this household, you know, not that you shouldn't tell them those things, those are good things to tell them, but also tell them, he who belittles his neighbor lacks sense. That is a good thing for them to hear. That might be a bit painful for them to hear, but that is the truth, that is reality, and they need to hear that. Whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense. If they're making fun of their sibling or their friend or some other child for no reason, or just saying something ungraciously, even if it's true, that is a senseless thing to do. Whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense. It's very important for them to grasp this concept, and sometimes quoting this to them when they are belittling their neighbor, which children often do, is useful for them. Well, quoting this to them is useful for them. You know, it's not merely that belittling your brother or your sister is unkind, it's also foolish. And that's good for them to understand. Let's also look at Proverbs 19, verse 11. Good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. This is also a very important lesson for kids to learn, especially if they have siblings, learning that it is honorable, that it is cool to overlook an offense. That's not natural to think, because we have a sin nature. That's not a very natural thing to think. I remember when I first read this, I actually did think it was kind of cool because I had just surrendered to Christ and I was pretty excited about stuff. And I'm like, whoa, what if when one of my brothers said something mean to me, I just let it go and didn't do anything in retaliation? That would be wild. I just remember when I was first reading this, it was huge to me. Now, I'm not saying it'll be like that for all kids. I think what made a difference then was that I had just decided that I was going to seek to obey God in everything, even if I didn't feel like it. But the verses in Proverbs can make a huge difference. Good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. And this is particularly important for kids to learn. And this is something you might have to talk to them about to help them get it. You might have to engage in conversation with them. You might have to help them understand what it means that it's a glory to overlook an offense. But this is very good to teach your children, to quote to your children and to talk to them about. This is good for them to learn. But also, I do want to say for the sake of balance, don't always quote this to your kids whenever they get angry. Don't always tell your kids to let it go when they get offended, because sometimes they ought to deal with their offense by confronting people. Let's quickly look at Leviticus 19, verse 17. You shall not hate your neighbor in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. I love how here in Leviticus, it contrasts getting bitter with your neighbor versus confronting them. Oftentimes, if we just suppress our anger and don't talk to people about what we're mad at them about, it turns inevitably to bitterness. There is a time to overlook an offense and to say nothing, and there's also a time to confront someone who you're mad at and to say something. And that takes wisdom. So you have to have wisdom about as a parent. Don't always quote this to your child when they're angry. Don't never quote it to your child. That's also another proverb that that is good for children to hear and to learn and to think about is Proverbs 27, verse 2. Let another praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. Bragging is something children do almost instinctively, but it's not good. And this proverb is helpful in helping them to learn that it's not good. If your children play one-upmanship with each other, or with other kids, you might want to use this to teach them. Let another praise you and not your own mouth. But also, I do want to say, just like I said for the last one, it's good to be balanced. Don't use this so much that they think that it's universally wrong to say good things about yourself. Moses, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, said he was the most humble person on earth, and he was right. And Paul spoke of his own credentials and said that he wasn't the least bit inferior to eminent apostles. This is a good proverb to teach your children, to talk to your children about, to quote to them occasionally. Let another praise you and not your own mouth. Let's also look at Proverbs 28, verse 13. Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. This is very important for children to learn, and it's very helpful that they learn at a young age. Children face probably more temptation than you know to hide their sins from you. By the way, if you think you know about all the sins of your children, well, maybe you do if they're two, but if you think that in general parents know all the sins of their children, that's naive. Children very much can hide their sins from you. Don't assume that they are not doing so. But it's good for them to learn this proverb, to grasp this idea that they can be open about their sins, and it be safe to be open about their sins, that they will find mercy. That being open about their sins is safer than not being open about their sins. That's a very important concept for children to learn. And it's very important for them to learn it before they become teenagers. If they did not learn it as a child, it's probably a bit too late for you to teach it to them when they're a teenager. It might not be. If you didn't teach that to your child, then pray for God's empowerment and grace. But you really want your children to learn this at a young age. Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. You want them to learn that it is safe to be open about their sins. And also, you want to make your home an environment where it actually is safe for them to be open about their sins. And you might need wisdom about how to do that and how to respond to their sin, especially when they confess it to you when they didn't have to. You really don't want to shoot that down too harshly and discourage them from doing it again. But this is a good proverb to talk to your children about. This is a very good concept for them to learn. All right, let's look at Proverbs 20, verse 3. Avoiding a fight is a mark of honor. Only fools insist on quarreling. This is an important lesson for your children to learn. This is an important proverb to use with them. It is very common for children to insist on quarreling, on fighting, especially fighting over petty things. And it might be helpful to talk to them about this proverb sometime, to sit them down and go over it and explain it to them. And it might also be helpful to quote it to them in specific situations where they're fighting with their siblings or friends over petty things, or where they're considering whether or not to start a fight and they're tempted to. Avoiding a fight is a mark of honor. Only fools insist on quarreling. Hopefully, this is making a good case that the book of Proverbs really is something useful to use with your children. Let's also look at Proverbs 17, verse 14. Very similar to the one we just looked at. Starting a quarrel is like opening a floodgate. So stop the dispute before it breaks out. This is one that you'll probably have to explain to them to talk about what it means and what the implications are. It's much easier to stop a fight before it actually starts than to stop a fight in the middle of it. You can stop a fight in the middle of it, but it's a lot easier to stop a fight before it actually happens than to stop a fight in the middle of it. And again, this proverb might be one more to talk about and to explain in a conversation sometime rather than quoting to them in a situation. But it's a helpful proverb for them to know. It's a helpful concept for them to understand. Starting a quarrel is like opening a floodgate. So stop before a dispute breaks out. Let's also look at Proverbs 17, verse 5. Those who mock the poor insult their maker. Those who rejoice at misfortune of others will be punished. So this is another important one for children to understand, because children face a lot of temptation, I think even more than adults do, to belittle and make fun of others. And when they make fun of others for being less gifted or less attractive or less intelligent or less strong, they are literally insulting God who made the other person. And that is something that they need to learn. Whoever mocks the poor insults their maker. Whoever mocks the less gifted or less intelligent or less attractive also is insulting their maker for the same reason. It's good to explain this proverb to your children and talk about the applications of it. And it might even be good to quote to them sometimes when they're making fun of others. Let's also look at Proverbs 12, verse 16. A fool is quick-tempered, but a wise person stays calm when insulted. You know, this one can be helpful for children to hear when they get angry over someone insulting them, which happens a lot. Children love to insult each other. A fool is quick-tempered, but a wise person stays calm when insulted. Let's also look at Proverbs 29, verse 23. Pride ends in humiliation, while humility brings honor. So this is it's not a natural thing to think this. This very much goes against what we naturally think because of our sin nature. But pride ends in humiliation, while humility ends in honor. Acting in pride is just natural for children. But they need to learn that pride isn't as great as they think it is. You know, they might enjoy acting prideful because it makes them feel good in the moment, but it will have its consequences. And that's something that they need to learn. That's something they need to be told. And Proverbs is particularly helpful for making that point short and simple. But they're not going to realize that if you don't teach it to them, if you don't teach them that pride brings humiliation or that pride brings dishonor, but humility brings honor, they're not just going to think that on their own one day. No one's just going to think this on their own. This is something people have to learn from the scriptures. And if you don't teach this to your child from the scriptures, this isn't going to occur to them. Let's also look at Proverbs 10, verse 4. A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. Children very much so, it's very common for children to face temptation to not like work, especially in modern times where we have TV and video games and social media. Children are under great pressure to think that work is pointless. When I was a child, I used to hate doing work. In my parents homeschooling me, they actually got to the point where they let me do all the work myself and didn't hold me accountable. That was a terrible idea, at least in their case, because I was not diligent. Not that no parent should ever do that. If your children are diligent, that might be fine. But I wasn't diligent, and I just stopped doing work and just skateboarded and played video games all day. And it got to the point where by the time I was 16, I actually couldn't write the alphabet in lowercase because I had only learned to write it in uppercase. So I really hated work as a child. But then after I surrendered to Christ as a teenager, I started reading the book of Proverbs. And I read this verse, and I definitely liked money. I hated work, but I loved money. And I would read this verse and others like it, and it totally changed how I felt about work. Like, it took multiple times of reading the verses in Proverbs about diligence, but it after reading it multiple times and meditating on it, it really got into my feelings and changed how I felt about work. I went from not enjoying work to actually enjoying work and wanting to work. And for Proverbs, the verses in Proverbs about diligence being connected to acquiring wealth are things that you need to teach your children. There are things that children need to learn. A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. Oh, this next one might be one of my favorite verses. Let's look at Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. So keep your heart, or guard your heart, or watch over your heart. That's something that children need to learn. Children need to be taught to manage their desires and emotions. All humans need to learn to manage their desires and emotions. God calls us to do that. And in modern times, society thinks, or the culture kind of teaches, that humans don't have control over their desires or emotions, and that you're just supposed to follow your desires and your emotions, and whatever lot you get dealt, whatever desires or emotions you naturally end up with, that is, you're stuck with that. That's what society teaches. That's literally what Pride Month is all about. Is the idea that you're stuck with the desires and emotions that come naturally and you have no responsibility or even ability to change them. And that is thoroughly unbiblical. Children need to learn to manage their desires and emotions. And they need to learn not just that they should, but that they can. You know, so it's very tempting to think that you can't control your desires and emotions. That is a temptation we face, but a person has as much control over their desires and emotions as they have over their weight. Maybe more so. You know, you can't just close your eyes and concentrate really hard and will your body fat away. You can't just will power it away. But you still have control over your weight because you have control over your actions, and your actions determine your weight. And it's the same thing with your desires and emotions. You can't focus really hard and just magically make your anger go away, or just focus really hard and make your sadness go away. But you still do have control over your desires and emotions. The same way you have control over your health. And on some level, God holds each of us responsible for managing our desires and emotions. And just like with health or with weight, you might face challenges that the average person doesn't face with controlling your desires and emotions, but you can still learn to manage them. And God expects us to learn to manage our desires and emotions. Let's look at Proverbs 6, verse 25. Talking about the adulteress, do not desire her beauty in your heart, and do not let her capture you with her eyelashes. So this is Solomon in this Proverbs is saying, do not desire this. Do not desire the beauty of the adulterous woman. The scriptures tell us to manage our desires. Let's also look at Ephesians 4, verse 26. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And many people interpret this as don't go to bed angry, or don't stay angry for more than 24 hours. I tend to interpret this as don't stay angry more than 24 hours. God does expect us to manage our desires and emotions, and he holds us responsible for it. And children need to be taught that they can learn to exercise control over their desires and their emotions. They need to have reasonable expectations. Like I mentioned earlier, they need to understand that you can't just willpower your emotions away. And moreover, to the degree that you can, you typically shouldn't. You actually kind of can. People can suppress their emotions. Repressed anger is a real problem. But suppressing your emotions as a long-term strategy is about as good as, holding it in permanently when you have to go to the bathroom. Those are very equivalent ideas. It is, thank God that you have the ability to hold it in when you need to go to the bathroom, but trying to do that permanently is not a solution. That would literally destroy you, and it's the same with your emotions. It's good that you have the ability to withhold your anger. It's good that you have the ability to some degree to just choose to not be angry for a little bit. But that is not a good permanent solution. But anyways, all humans need to learn to manage their desires and their emotions. And children need to learn that they can learn to manage their desires and emotions. This is a super important lesson in life, and this is something you should teach to your children. And this is something you might have to learn more about. Knowing how to manage your desires and your emotions is not necessarily intuitive. It is not the default for humans. It is not something we naturally do very well. But it is something that we should learn. All right, let's also look at Proverbs 12:15. The way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. You know, children need to learn that just because something feels right or looks right doesn't mean that it is right. Even the fool thinks that his way is right, or that his thoughts are right, or that his feelings are right, which proves that just because something looks right doesn't mean it is right. And children need to learn that. And this might be more for older children than, say, for toddlers, but this is something that you should teach your children. Let's also look at Proverbs 25, verse 28. A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. This one is particularly relevant to children because children are often tempted to have no self-control. A city with no walls has no defense against attackers, and a person with no self-control has no defense against foolish or harmful desires. They just do whatever comes over them. Let's look at two more. Proverbs 26, verses 18 and 19. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is a man who deceives his neighbor and says, I am only joking. I feel like this one was written for children, but sadly there are adults who do this as well. But this is a temptation that children face. You know, when I was a child and a young teenager, I used to say really mean things about my younger brother all the time, and if someone confronted me about it, I'd be like, well, I was just joking. This is a good proverb for children to hear. You can't just lie to people and say, I was just joking. Yeah, sure, maybe you were joking, but that's destructive, like a madman who throws firebrands and arrows and death. Lastly, let's look at Proverbs 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. You know, this one is a good one to talk more about and to explain in more depth to them, but it's a good talking point. It's good to help them understand that one day they will have to answer to God for all their thoughts and actions, and that knowing that and living with that in mind is the most foundational aspect to good decision-making that there is. That's what this passage is saying. When the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, what that means is understanding that all people will have to answer to God one day for their actions and even their thoughts and desires. Knowing that and living by that is the most foundational aspect to good decision-making that there is. And that is something that children should learn while they're still children. So anyways, hopefully that makes just a good case that we shouldn't underestimate the usefulness of the book of Proverbs in teaching our children. We shouldn't neglect it. Let's see. It's 11:57. Noel, where is Noel? Oh, would you like to share for a minute or two on... on just how memorizing the book of Proverbs impacted you?
Functioning on 2 hours of sleep. to me, and I can remember most of, not all of them, at least with some prompting, and I try to review, and that helps a lot too. So they've especially helped, I put them to song so that I can go back and listen to them too, and Lily's listening to them and learning some as well. The Proverbs really helped with decision making, and that they'll pop up to my mind when I'm like, oh, I need to make this decision, and this is what God's word applies to it. So many of them that connect with pretty much all decisions that you can make in life. And so having kids learn that from small, younger age, it helps them be equipped to make wise decisions of their own. And that's like one of the biggest things I think we as parents can give our kids, the tools to be able to make great decisions and the ability to do that on their own, rather than just having us tell them what to do. You know, if they're memorizing these scriptures, that will help guide them instead of just looking to a person or even a parent. I remember, I was going to say one of them because this was one that pops in my mind a lot, because Proverbs was really written.
Thank you, Noel. So anyways, in conclusion, the book of Proverbs is for children. Yes, the book of Proverbs is for everyone, but it's particularly useful in helping children learn about life and learn how to behave and learn what wisdom looks like, which is something children have a particular need of. And how useful the book of Proverbs is for teaching children is often underestimated or neglected. And I just want us to remember how useful it is and not neglect it. How you choose to use it in teaching your children is completely up to you. But just know that out of the many tools that God gives us to teach our children wisdom, Proverbs is a particularly good one. So if you're a parent, you know, please take the time today or this week to start think about how you might use the book of Proverbs when teaching your kids. How can you use it? What specific proverbs might they need to learn from? And what do you want to do about it? So let's close in prayer and we'll have our communion meditation. Dear Lord, thank you for the wisdom that you give us. Thank you that you give us wisdom to succeed in life, wisdom to succeed in parenting, wisdom to know you. We pray that you would help us to learn wisdom, and you would help us to be gracious with our children and diligent to teach them, Lord. We pray that you'd help us to rely on your grace. We pray that you would empower us to parent well, and that we would rely on your word more than just our own wisdom, Lord. We pray that that you would bless us and draw us closer to you, and we thank you for your grace and amen. So for today's communion meditation, I didn't really have much time to plan today's communion meditation, but since it's Father's Day, I just wanted to kind of talk about, just really hit on this idea, Jesus had a perfect relationship with his Father. Like, none of us know what that's like. Jesus had a super enjoyable relationship with the Father. Whatever level of enjoyment David had, which it's very clear David thoroughly enjoyed his times of worship and prayer. David had a deep communion with God that he really experienced pleasure and delight from. I think Jesus experienced that more so. Jesus had perfect communion with God that had never been broken, never been bothered. He had never, ever experienced the Father being angry at him. And he went to the cross to take on God's wrath towards us out of love. I just want us to think about what a great love that is. That even though he so thoroughly enjoyed and loved and delighted in his relationship with the Father, and he had never ever experienced the Father being angry at him, he was willing to let a temporary break come into that relationship and to genuinely experience the Father's wrath for us. And that is awesome. So let's pray to him as we come to the table.